Brandon Morehouse. Okay. Apparently, I'm just a single host tonight. I mean, geez, hello. If that's the way you want to play it.
Jake.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I changed the title to Trigger Warnings.
Okay.
Is that okay?
No, it's not.
No? Okay. Well.
I was going by what our schedule said.
I know. Well, trigger warnings are more accurate.
Okay. We will take that.
Anyways, hello everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Writer's Block. My name is Brandon Morehouse. And this week, we're going to be talking about trigger warnings for your book.
Is more and more frequent in the writing.
Yes, it definitely is. Jake, I'm having technical difficulties. Let me just step out and I'll be right back. Let me see if I can get this to work properly.
Okay.
You hold down the fort. I'll be right
back.
So
in the meantime, while Brandon steps out, I will tell you that today was a day at work and it was something special. But I made it through the day. I just right before we literally right before we started this. And so, yeah, it's been an interesting, trying day, but we will survive. So, Brandon.
Yes, I'm back. Sorry.
Is that better?
It's better, yes.
Okay, good. I'm so glad.
We have to have technical difficulties in every episode.
Every single episode. I was just telling them about my day. How about your day?
You know, it was kind of nice because both of my bosses were gone.
Lucky.
So I got a lot done.
Both for work and for writing work, right?
Yes, both of them for work, yes. But Jake, we had a pretty big week this week.
We did. We just passed our year mark.
Yeah, we have a happy anniversary. It's our anniversary.
We
are 1 year old for being an official podcast. That's exciting.
Aww, so sweet.
We're one.
One.
I wonder if there's like a conversion, like a year podcast is like 7 years in dog. I don't know.
In dog years.
Why not?
All whatever. Right. So we're seven. Yeah, so we haven't even hit our teens.
No, we're still pretty young. But there were two things this week. Oh, and then tonight's our 50th episode.
Yay! 50.
Like, wow, that's
50 and 1.
Yes.
It's monumental.
Fucking crazy. So good on us. And
yay.
thank you to all of our listeners for supporting us. I think it's more about them than it is.
Yeah.
So we thank very you much guys. So. And gals and whatever you identify as and just everybody in between.
Yeah.
So
that's a good way to put it.
Yes. This is an open forum. If you'd like to join in the conversation, please hit that mic button. But before we go into it, Jake, what's your spiel about where people should be listening to us at?
Well, they should definitely go over to podbean.com and give us a like, a follow, and a comment so you can be notified whenever a new episode drops.
Yes.
But you can also listen to us on any of the streaming platforms.
Yeah. Anywhere you listen to a podcast, you can just follow us, and that would be great. We now have a Facebook group. Feel free to join us over there. It's The Writer's Block, just like it is on here. And then I feel like there's one more thing we should be announcing.
Is there?
I'm drawing a blank. Oh, well. Moving on. We'll move on. We need to do...
I don't know.
We need to do the off-topic topic. And this week it's Jake's turn to hit me with that.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Brandon...
Jake.
You have been working super, super hard on this new work in progress.
Yes.
And you just reached a milestone.
Yes, I hit.
And I want to celebrate it.
Yes, 60,000 words.
Yes. so good. So you read 10,000 words. Let's just say that you have completed the work and it's amazing. You pick up an agent and that agent gets you a deal right away. This obviously in an American world publishing is not a slow beast. But it gets picked up right away and you get your first payment, your first check for your book.
Okay.
And it's super fun and generous and they $40,000.
Okay.
And you cannot spend it on anything that you have already purchased.
Okay.
What are you spending the money on?
Like, what do you mean, like, purchased? Like, I can put it towards my house?
You cannot put it towards your home.
Damn it!
Nope, you can't put it towards your home. You cannot put it towards bills. You cannot put it towards anything that you have already purchased.
Maybe a new car?
Ooh, that's fancy.
I didn't expect a new car from you. But I like maybe a vacation, but then I'm like, I really don't know because student loans and the house are like my top priorities. Oh, yeah. I know what I would do. I know exactly what I would do.
What would you do?
I want to get liposuction.
I knew it. Oh my gosh, I love it.
Like, he's going to want to get work done.
Right? Yes. When you said you wanted a car, I was like, oh my gosh, I love
it. What would you spend it on, Jake? What would you spend that money on?
If I did not worry about I would probably spend it on a horse.
Of course you would.
The horse I want is expensive.
I bypassed it on purpose. Can you name him Mr.
You're
Ed?
Fired. You're fired.
You can't say that. Donald Trump's going to come. He's like, if you say it three times, he's going to pop up and be like, you owe me some money. Like, that's what he's going to do. Like,
wow. Oh, my gosh.
Tremendous.
Too much fun.
That's why you just don't say it. You just can't say it. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So let's get on with the show. Jake, what is a trigger warning?
A trigger warning or any type of warning that you put in your is basically to alert your reader that there might be a sensitive topic coming up.
Okay. Can I get some examples?
That's it. You might have a trigger warning if there's extreme violence, or you might have a trigger warning detected in that genre.
Okay.
What is DT?
I don't know.
What does DT mean? I don't know. What does DT mean?
Oh, I know what it is. Donald Trump.
Oh, okay.
This is a non-political zone, so we'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so trigger warnings are to tell people, like, hey, this might have a sensitive subject, like rape, molestation, anything that could potentially make someone upset, correct?
Anything that could be triggering, yes.
Okay.
Carolyn, go for it.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
So, I feel like it's impossible not to offend someone, even just by saying hello these days. And I know I sound really old by saying these days, but...
I love it.
That definitely was like a back in my day sort of a thing. Like...
Kids these days, damn it.
Exactly.
I am the crotchety woman, I admit. I accept it.
Good on you.
I think Carolyn, as far as that goes, I think trigger warnings are more for traumatic events more than offense.
Yes.
And so it's things that might be mentally unhealthy for people to read based on past experience.
That's interesting.
So that would be my...
I would think...
That'd be my take.
I wonder, are trigger warnings more in like nonfiction? Because I feel like I don't come across them much in fiction.
So they're becoming a really big thing in fiction.
Oh.
Our authors are starting to use them a lot more. There's debate on both sides on whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Some people argue that if you have a trigger warning, it's an automatic kind of turnoff for people to read your book. People might avoid it, even though it might not be quite what they think it is, that type of thing. So there's still a lot of rather heated debate on it.
Yes.
Depending on who you're talking to.
And I want to say that there are people that say that when you have those trigger warnings, it takes you almost out of the story. You lose it, right? Like, this is going to have, like, some sort of violence in it. Well, that's kind of... you're expecting it all the way through the story. Now, I can see both sides of that, and I really don't have an opinion either way, to be honest with you. I mean, usually when you're reading the blurb on the back, you can kind of tell where this is going to go. But there are people that are very, I don't want to say sensitive. I don't know what word I'm trying to use on that.
There are people that are very emotionally aware of certain circumstances.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to respect their feelings on that one as well, where it's like, well, that could make you feel very uncomfortable. But part of me is, as writers, sometimes your story makes people uncomfortable, and that's just the plot of the story, right? So it's a tough one, and I think this topic was suggested, but I don't remember who it was suggested by, and I loved it when I was like, oh, that's a good idea. So, Jake, what is something that, if you read it as a trigger warning, what is a topic that you'd be like, nope, I don't want to read that?
So I am not a big fan of gore, and I've had a verbal trigger warning for a friend's that I was going to beta read for, and I ignored the warning and tried to read it and couldn't do it.
Right.
There are certain topics, because of my life history, that are really not mentally healthy for me to read.
Yeah.
So for me personally, I appreciate the trigger warning. Partially because, like, in a lighter sense, and if you can call it that, like, I am not a big fan of violence and gore.
Like, I just want to say that you're breaking up a lot, so I can't.
Okay. I didn't know if that was me or if that was
Jake.
It's Jake. Okay. I'll you're going to come and go. Kathleen, I would love to hear your opinion on this, because I know your topic
for right.
your book is very heavy
yes.
triggering. So Jake tries to figure that out. I don't know if he can log off and log back on.
Okay.
But let's have a discussion about that.
Okay. So, my book is a memoir, and it's about my story of childhood sexual assault,
right.
And also the healing of it. So it goes from like age 6 to my present age. So there was a lot of healing that went on during that time. So like the first half of the book is very triggering. it's done in the first person of the 6-year-old, the 7-year-old, the 8-year-old. So it's written kind of in a child's voice with a little bit of prefacing. Mm-hmm. But so you hear the whole story. And I knew when I wrote this book that it needed to be written, but that the back of my book, if you read the back of my book or the very first inner page, it says that this is about sexual assault and healing from that childhood sexual assault. You can't get into my book without, like, there's no red warning sign on it or anything, but there's, you know, a paragraph or two that you can read before you even get into it.
Okay.
But on the flip side of that, so that was from my author's standpoint of how I needed to write and respect fellow survivors or other people that just really can't or choose not to, you know, read about that topic. And I think it was Carolyn that mentioned that we don't see it so much in fiction. Well, I would say within the last year, I read 3 books that I loved, and there was no trigger or any indication that there was a sexual assault involved in the story.
Right.
So for me, and maybe it's because I've done so much healing in my life, I read that and I know that I can pause, I can close the book, I can, you know, get a glass of water, a warm blanket, and take care of myself as I read something that's very emotional for me. Right. And so I finished the books. So it does come up in fiction. I feel like, I don't know, if you're writing a story and there's something, and not just that particular topic, but other maybe violent topics or maybe domestic violence or, you know, something along those lines. If you told everybody about that part of the book, I think it might interfere with the story of the book.
You know,
I don't know.
It's one of those difficult calls, right? Where you're sitting and you're like, I could see, especially if it's not something that's overly relevant to the story. Not saying it wouldn't be relevant, but it's not
right
all the way through the book, right? It happens in this one event,
right?
And then that person has to have that arc of how they heal and how they overcome that, right?
Right.
I think personally, it almost takes away from that because you're expecting it. You're expecting it when you're going into it. But like you said, if you put it on the back and you kind of put it in the blurb, I think that'll help. Because usually when you're reading the blurb or the description of the book, you can kind of piece together what the story is going to be about in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's little things that are going to happen throughout.
Yeah.
When we did this topic, I said, I want to talk to Kathleen, especially because yours is very triggering, but I think
mm-hmm.
yours is about that, the full life of it, right?
Right.
How it happened and then how you overcome and how you healed through that process.
Right.
And I think for people that haven't healed, I think that story would be great.
Mm-hmm.
While it's going to trigger them and make them uncomfortable, I'm the type of person that as a human being, if I'm uncomfortable, I'm growing. I'm learning something
right.
about myself that I've not had to experience before. So I don't mind being uncomfortable.
And that's why I wrote the book.
Right.
I wrote the book so that other survivors or family members of survivors would not feel alone and that they could get some hope that there is a way out of this. Or, for me, there was. I can't speak for all, but, you know, I share my experience. And, and I have spoken to so many of my readers. And while it was really hard for many of them to read, they really appreciated it and it was very helpful. There were some survivors that came to me and said they'd never said a word before, but now they told. So that's all it took to make me know right. that I wrote the book for the right reason. And I never cared if I ever received another penny for the book.
Yeah.
You know, like it really was a book built on love and respect and dedication, compassion, you know?
Yeah. And I think
that's beautiful.
Oh, Jake, you're back.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Okay. Good. I'm hoping that this will stay and that people can hear me and I won't ruin the
episode.
You
are not ruining the episode.
No.
We have to have a technical difficulty in every single episode. Like,
and most spaces do.
I love it. Kathleen, I love that you have put a trigger warning where somebody who is diving into it can find it, but not so explicitly that right. it is in everybody's face that they can't read this and really dive into the emotional side mm-hmm. of it with a preconceived notion necessarily.
Yeah, you do get to make a choice when you open the book.
Yeah.
And I only know of one person who said they just couldn't finish it because I think it's because they knew me and loved me. And it was just hard.
Yeah.
But other people, you know, hunt you down. And I've talked to them and they were glad that they made it through. And you get to put the book down. As a survivor, I did that all the time. I've read every survivor book I think ever written, you know. And I know that I can read it and I can put it down when I need to. If I don't pick it up again, that's just my choice. And choice is key because as a survivor, what was taken away from us? Choice.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So you have a choice when you open a book that has at least some information on the outside of the book.
Right.
And that blurb is on Amazon. It says right next to, you know, the description of the book that is child abuse, you know, it gives the different categories.
Yeah.
So you can't miss it.
I get to play the dumb comic book, okay. right? Like I know my role and I lean into it.
So okay.
Is there some trigger warnings that are so blatantly obvious? So I think because of what genre they're in. So if I think of, like, Jake, you said you're not a fan of like horror and gore, right?
Me either.
Yeah. So if you're looking at a book in the horror and gore section, I assume you're going to know that that's going to be in there. Is that, are there other ones that are kind of like that?
I think that, like, obviously if you're, so for me personally, I live in a very, very conservative area. And because of that, there's a lot of people that are very averse to sexually explicit things on the page. And so trigger warnings obviously would be necessary for some of them in standard romances even. Mm-hmm. But obviously they're not going to go straight to erotica and expect to need a trigger warning.
But
I guess is the best way to
I Carolyn, go ahead.
When Brandon was saying, like, you know, if you're standing in the horror section, I would expect you there would be a good amount of blood and gore. So if that makes you uncomfortable, I think you would avoid it. But right, like you said, Jake, you know, sexually explicit things are, some people are uncomfortable with it, and you'll find that in romance, but it's more in erotica. So I guess it's kind of like pay attention to what category you're in the bookstore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Do pay attention because those genres are there for
a reason. And that's the thing. Trigger warnings are like, they're like road signs, like caution, you know, yield. Like,
Take
a step back. There might be something in here you're not good with. So,
you know. Carolyn, not everybody reads the road signs.
That's true.
There, There are some really, really poor drivers out there.
Yeah. There's not everyone follows the rules of the road. You all, I mean, like, no, you yield to me, you're in my lane.
I try to read the road signs, but speed limits to me are just suggestions.
I mean, if you're going 10 miles an hour over, no one's going to say anything. But if get pulled over by a cop, like, yeah, I was totally going over.
Fine. Yeah, I got pulled. I was going well over that. So, yeah.
Oh, well.
I was going well over that.
Let's have that conversation when your license has been pulled, like mine.
Well, this sign that I'm thinking of is kind of funny, but in Connecticut, we have a lot of wrong way signs. You know, and they're very clear, red signs, white words. You can't miss it. It's usually on and off highways, and still there's problems. So.
I have a horrible fear of going the wrong way, like seeing the sign and being like, whatever, man, I'm right.
Just need to turn right here. It's fine. Like, no, it's not fine. Like, that's not how that works.
Like, there's a reason I didn't get my license until I was 32, because I knew I was too stupid to drive.
That is ridiculous.
So that this is me. I don't know how this got me on this highway, but I was thinking about a book that I obviously knew was going to have sexual maybe dominance or things I wasn't going to like. And I read it anyway. So I literally skipped a few pages. I kind of scanned a little bit and saw what I was really uncomfortable with and scanned through it because the rest of the story was pretty good. But, you know, I picked up that book and I knew that it was going to be triggering for me. So I, you know, I took care of myself and I skipped those pages and went on to the rest of the story that was very interesting. So
I think that's also a good point to bring up, Kathleen, is again that you have the choice. You could have said, hey, this is too much. I don't want to pick up this book at all. Or this book is, you know, a DNF, like a do not finish.
Right.
And I love the fact that you skipped part of it and you just said, you know what? I don't need this part. I can appreciate the rest of the story for what it is.
Yep.
Which is a big deal. Like, and not every reader can do that. Not every reader is in a position to do that. It's, and this goes back to kind of the age categories that I was talking about at the beginning, where we really have to kind of take into consideration what we're presenting to who. There's obviously some trigger warnings that need to be there for specific books like 13 Reasons Why is a marvelous, marvelous book in a lot of ways, but it is also very, very hard for some readers and maybe not appropriate for everybody in the YA age category. So trigger warnings are important for that type of thing. I think too, as far as like middle grade, which I write quite a bit of, in the middle grade category, that's also another big thing is trigger warnings for things. There's, I was doing some research the other day and found that there are some middle grade books that are dealing with tough topics, like really, really tough topics, like self-harm and things like that. And there are some trigger warnings or some warnings that need to be, in my opinion, need to be on those books because, again, not everybody wants to be reading that, you know, and parents might not be aware either. I think it's healthy for them to have access to those. I'm not talking about banning these books by any means. Like, obviously, we've had that conversation before about how we don't appreciate the banned books. Of course, as authors, you know, it just gets us more readership because people get curious. But there is this real need for people in general, whether that's children or adults, to have an understanding of what a book might contain, if it is a really red flag topic. So, Carolyn, yeah.
So it's interesting. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned banned books, because my friend bought me a mug that have like the first lines of 15 of the best banned books. So of course,
Oh my God,
it's amazing. And I was drawn to the book Gravity's Rainbow because the first line is "A screaming comes across the sky." And I was like, dude, with a line like that, oh my God. But I read it and it just got way too weird and I put it down. So I don't know if I would have appreciated a trigger warning, but it was the curiosity factor that kept me reading. I was like, why is it banned? What's so bad about it? And then I'm like, maybe this is why it was banned. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And there could be so many different reasons, you know, why books end up on a banned book list or end up banned. And it might not have anything to do with things that require a trigger warning. Go ahead,
yeah,
Kathleen.
You know, when you were talking about the middle grade group, it made me think of, I did a speaking engagement a few months back about my book, and, you know, everybody knew the subject of this invitation and what the book was about before they came. But I found that in the audience, there were about four teenagers and their mothers, and the rest of them were just women. Only women were invited to this particular thing because it was very intimate. But it was so beautiful to see the interactions and how they spoke about this topic, and that these parents were going to read with their daughter.
That's beautiful.
Kathleen, I remember when you were first nervous about having your thing, and here you are now leading like topics and discussions and stuff like that.
And this is that special month. It's April. It's Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So I was really happy to see this topic tonight.
And I'm going to ask the group this. Is it the author's responsibility to put the trigger warning on there? How do we feel about that?
That's the real question, Brandon. Touche.
I mean, because like you said, it gets to a point where it's like, it's your choice as a reader whether to continue on or not. Now, you might make some people uncomfortable, but I mean, again, if you're looking in a horror book section and you're like, well, it's got gore and horror in it. Well, you're in the horror book section.
Right.
Like, what do you expect?
Rainbows and unicorns?
Yeah, well, that's what you would do, Jake. Not everybody would do that.
Well, and when you walk into self-help section, you're going to run into a lot of issues there, too.
Right.
You know, so I think the reader, I take responsibility for myself. However, maybe 30 years ago, when I wasn't quite as healed as I am now, I would really appreciate the warning, but I'd read it anyway because I felt like a freak.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to know that I wasn't alone. So that was key. But so I think it's both our responsibilities. I think if you write something in the blurb about it, I mean, I always read the blurbs, always. Yeah. I read them on Amazon. I read them in the bookstore. I read the dedications. I read a lot of things before I purchase a book. It's not just the cover, because you would never guess from the cover of my book what my book is about.
Right.
Yet the painting on the cover of my book was painted by a healing survivor. and it means a lot. And so there's a whole page on what the cover's about.
Nice. I love that. I love that. Now, what if, okay, so we'll, Jake, like, you've read my current work in progress.
Yes.
I never, there's an, and Carolyn, you, Carolyn has read the first chapter. She was one of my beta readers. There is, it's insinuated that there's some sexual assault, but I never outright say it. Would that constitute a trigger warning?
That is, I think, up to you as the author, whether or not you want to put that out for your readers. Okay.
Em, go ahead. You got your hand up.
Well, I just want to ask the group a question. With, let's take, I'm going to do a comparison from my book to a movie. The movie Taken. Have any of you watched that?
I have not.
I've seen most of it.
You know, with Liam Neeson, where his daughter gets taken by child traffickers.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah, it's dark.
So if you know that that's what the movie's about, you know, from the previews, and you still go to the movies, is it up to the director to put a trigger warning on that movie?
Right.
Anybody? Anybody?
I mean, there's still that, like, there's a rating, like that PG-13 or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. That happens on all the movies. So I don't know. I don't think we, and correct me if I'm wrong, do we have something like that in the book world?
I'm rating mine M for mature audiences only.
Yeah, like,
but if the blurb says that this group of vigilantes is out to take out child traffickers.
Yeah, there you go. That's a warning.
Do you need any more of a warning than that?
No.
Right. I agree with Kathleen. Like, that's a warning right there. Like, this is going to be a heavy subject. If you don't feel comfortable reading about this subject, this is not the book for you. Right.
So the trigger warnings are already in the blurb. So we do kind of come with our ratings, I guess. Well,
but not
for every blurb.
I don't go into the children's, you know, abuse. Right. I basically, my vigilantes just go after the abusers.
Right.
But still, there's some reference to how these children are kept on cargo containers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that can be triggering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be triggering for me. But I also would choose, I could tell from your blurb whether I would read that or not. And I take a few more risks now as I'm older and work through my stuff. But maybe, you know, 30 years ago, I might have said, oh, I'm going to pass by that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, like my therapist, she said, why the hell do you watch SVU? I said, because I want to see the bad guy get it.
And see, that's all my book's about, is the bad guy getting it.
Thank you. Well, then, see, and that would, I'd be right, I've sucked right into it and, you know, dig in the grave, you know.
But, I mean, I don't understand why books can't go by the same rating as a movie. You know, strong sexual content, you know, alcohol, abuse, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each of those P, PG, whatever, means something when parents are disregarding certain movies for their children.
I think it would be brilliant to have a rating system for books. Like, I'm not done by an outside perspective, but just from authors themselves, even from peer panels, I think that would be really cool.
And I think they say even like rated, is it G? What's the one before PG?
G.
Yeah.
All right. Even G-rated movies can have up to 70 cuss words in them.
70? Yeah.
Most of them don't, but but they can have, they are more and more getting more leeway in certain ways.
Yeah.
More is slipping into those. I will say that I had a job opportunity a couple of years ago to actually work for the rating board for movies. And I chose not to do it because you have to watch everything. You have to watch all the horror and everything else. Oh my God,
Jake, you would be the worst at that.
I would be crying. I would be sobbing every single day that I had to watch. I was like, can I just do like kids movies?
Lord of the Rings. Like, not rated R. Like,
well,
you don't know things.
I always think that I'd love to be like, get paid to read books, but then I'm like, no, you'd have to read everything.
Yeah, you have to read everything. Yeah. And you have to give honest reviews on everything. And obviously there is criteria for each of the categories when we're talking about movies specifically. Right. But like I said, I don't know that, and there are certain requirements, like you have to be a parent of X amount of children that are within this age group and that type of thing, so that you can rate those younger children's movies as well.
Hold on.
I don't know if this is all possible, though.
Jake, why are you discriminating against people that don't have children?
I am not the one who is discriminating. Thank you very much.
I'm just saying, like,
I'm just that is one of the requirements that the rating board has, because you have to have a good concept or idea of what children might find appropriate or inappropriate, or what parents might find inappropriate for their children. So, I think, though, that doing this kind of process, like I said, with a peer-rated board of peers within even your genre would be a huge asset to the industry.
Well, sorry, Jacob.
That's a lot of books.
I really like the concept, because it wouldn't be – implementation would be a little bit – would be hard, but I think if you had, like, volunteer readers – that did it, and they're like, hey, I'm going to rate it this one, right? I would do this. And then everyone's just kind of reading different books. Because they do that on video games, too. So it wouldn't – the standards are already kind of set in place. We just have to shift it from movies and video games and add in books, because it's a form of entertainment, right?
Well, and doing the peer review thing is like saying, like, okay – if you want to volunteer, you can read this book, and however many people read it, and then they rate it, and we take the average of the ratings and say, hey, this is what this book is rated.
I don't feel like that would be that hard. I mean, it would be hard to implement, but once you got going and had a system put in place, I think that would actually be kind of cool. And it would help, because you have a lot of stuff now that's blending genres, right? Like, oh, now this is going into this genre, which wouldn't normally, 20 years ago, wouldn't have been in that genre. But by today's standards, now it's this rating.
Yeah, like when you have a horror rom-com.
Why are you always going to bring up rom-com?
Because I love rom-coms so much.
If you're
going
to bring up rom-com, I'm going to bring up mine.
No, are not. You promised.
I did it twice this year already. So you're done with...
I know, and you promised, and you said you've broken that promise.
I said I tried, would try.
Also, for any new listeners, you are more than welcome to join the conversation. Just tap that little mic button in the bottom corner of your screen. We'd love to have you. Kathleen,
so I just thought of another thing. Like, the reviews on my book... and I read a lot of reviews before I purchase a book online. Also, there's a couple reviews that would say, you know, there would say trigger warning, or it would speak to the, you know, sort of the content in the book. So I think the reviews can be a huge resource, too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think reviewers give too much away, but in this case, you could tell from the reviews the direction of this book.
Right. But I think
absolutely
I'm gonna challenge you just slightly on that one, Kathleen. Okay.
Yep, go ahead.
I think the problem with that is most people don't investigate that much into understanding what the book is about.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think now that we bring it up, I really love that idea of adding that system into it. I don't like, I would do what you would do. If it's something that I'm like, I don't know, let me read this and see if it would trigger me somehow. Mm-hmm. But I think for the average person, that's almost too much work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We want to try to keep it simple. But I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you.
And see, that's my responsibility.
Right.
That I do to take care of my own self. And I realize that not everybody does that for their own self.
Right.
Well, and that's where, you know, if you're not going to take the time to self-care in that sense, like you can't be upset if something is more than what you thought it might be. Like, do your due diligence, do the research that you need to, like, check into things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it makes it difficult too. And I'm not a parent, so I don't know any of this world. So any parent can clarify me if I'm wrong. It's hard because you don't know always what your kid is reading. And then you find out something that you're not comfortable with, but your kid is. Does that kind of make, like, you're like, no, I don't want you to read that because I don't want you to get upset by it. But the kid's like, I don't have a problem with it. Right.
And that's where your personal boundaries and things have to come in. And you have to have open, frank conversations with your children.
Well, involving the internet. The internet feels scarier to me than a book.
Yeah.
I will agree with that. Carolyn?
Jake, everything's scarier for you than a book.
Like, oh, Brandon, leave Jake alone.
I'm not going to leave Jake alone.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Rude.
So I have a preteen niece, and she'll come over sometimes and look at my books, and she'll be like, oh, man, can I read this? I'm like, no, not yet.
Because, like, we're not there yet. Like,
I know, like, her mom, my sister, I don't think she'd appreciate me being like, yeah, here, knock yourself out, kid. And then she's like, what are you letting my child read? Because
I totally get that.
My sister, I just know she's too busy to, like, be like, what are you reading? And, you know, my niece might say, oh, well, it's about superheroes. And she might be pulling a me when I was reading the Anita Blake series, which is vampires and werewolves and, you know, all the sex. And my mom would be like, what are you reading? I'm like, oh, it has vampires in it. And she'd be like, oh, okay.
That's what I was doing with horse books. I bought horse books and my mom's like, oh, it's a horse book. And then I was reading it like, what is going on? What is this?
How do you have bad horse books? You know what? I don't want to know. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Thank you for that.
I'm going to leave that one alone there, Jake.
That would be going down.
Jake has a secret kink.
I do not have a secret kink. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I mean, you're the one reading horse
anyway.
Books. Are they like vampires? Like, they're like vampires.
No, you've done it now, Jake. No. What are these horse books about?
Anyway, moving on.
Nope. Back around. We're backing back over the body and we're getting ready to pull forward. Keep going.
No, they're horse books about young writers having their first sexual experiences and things. And I was just way, way, way too young to be reading them. Like, I was probably like 8.
Jake, you're reading erotica at the age of 8?
About horses.
With horses?
No. Oh my God.
And you were making fun of me about dino erotica. Come on.
I can just imagine how red Jake's face is right now.
That's poor not what Jake. They're about. All these, we got all these new listeners on. Like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Like,
for those of you that don't know, we're talking about trigger warnings, and maybe this show should have a trigger warning right now, because we've gone very far off topic.
Okay. No, there's no you we know. Involved. You're the one who's bringing up horse books.
No, I'm defending Jake here, man. You know.
Okay.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you.
I understand. It wasn't the horses. It was. I understand.
Yeah. Yep. So I think there needs to be some understanding of what children are reading. Like Brandon said, like a lot of times parents aren't aware of what their kids are reading. And for those writing in the middle grade or YA realm, there are some rules and boundaries within those, but there are also some really sensitive subjects that are tackled.
And maybe that system would be a good idea. Like everything else in the industry has it, right? In the entertainment industry.
Yeah, in the entertainment industry.
So, I don't know.
If you guys could find a way to fund that I like startup.
Yeah.
I will have to investigate this. Jake, maybe that's something that we do with this as a branch of our new company.
Yeah, absolutely. We will take over the publishing world by storm.
Yes.
Oh, he's so excited about it already. I can just see it. Anyways, so trigger warning. And if any new listeners are on, we have about 8 minutes left on the show. You're welcome to join in. Just hit that little mic button. Jake.
Yes.
So with a trigger warning, typically, we kind of mentioned that it's in the blurb. You can kind of, there's hints here and there where your book is at and kind of on the back. But is it common practice to put like at the beginning, you know how the beginning of movies, it's like this book contains blah, 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 blah. Would that be something? Is that normal practice?
Yeah. So it's really similar to a lot of the, like we talked about the rating systems for like movies and television shows where like Hulu and Netflix and stuff will say at the beginning of episodes, like this is for adults, that there's mature material that's being shown, that type of thing. And so a lot of these, the newer trend is to put the trigger warning at the very beginning of the book. Now, a lot of people skip reading anything that is before the thing that says chapter one. And so you can bypass that in a lot of ways, but there is also, you know, for those people that are looking for trigger warnings, you will find them at the beginning of the book, usually or after the title page and before your first chapter.
I kind of think the one with horse erotica should have it plainly seen. probably right under the title of the book.
MD coming in hot on that one. I love it.
So I've been trying to get the gist of the conversation, and then you completely threw me at horse erotica. So I was like, yeah, that needs a warning.
That needs a trigger warning. I will agree. 8-year-old me would really have appreciated a trigger warning.
I love that's MD's first time on the show, and that's what he's coming in with. I love it. I'm all about that.
We like people with opinions around here because that's what this show is all about, is sharing knowledge and opinions and everything else. So kudos.
You know, I think there's certainly, I mean, I haven't caught the whole thing, but I think there certainly should be some sort of ratings for books. But, you know, it's like you say, how do you monitor what your kids are reading all the time? It's incredibly difficult to keep track. I mean, do kids read the much these days? I don't know.
So middle grade market is down about 2% from about 4 years ago, and that's partially because of we've come out of the main section of the pandemic and stuff, and people aren't as home as much and that type of thing. But there's still so many kids out there reading, and as parents, we get busy, and it's really hard to monitor everything that our kids are reading and looking at, and it's it can be difficult to be to as a parent to say, well, I'm going to read that book first.
Yeah.
Just to make
sure. Yeah.
And it's something that I do personally, but I also write in that genre. And so it's a lot easier for me because it's kind of like my homework for the week anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think the problem is there's so much access to different forms of reading that we never had back years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Between being able to read stuff online,
yeah,
and, you know, with Kindles and everything else, with audiobooks and all of that, there's a lot of stuff out there, and our kids and everybody has access to it right away. So as discerning adults, we can kind of pick and choose, but yeah, sometimes it's nice to be able to step up and say, hey, you know, that might not be for you quite yet.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's sort of a new rating system for books. You know, I don't know sort of how that would be brought in. That seems, you know, more difficult to do than, say, with films or games. There was a rating on games as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they come through such specific companies,
yeah,
and it might be something you'd have to go to specific publishing houses,
yeah,
especially like the big four on board and here in the US specifically, and saying, hey, you know, like, this is something that you really should like look into implementing, especially for the younger grade books. Yeah. So,
yeah. Are you all from the US in here?
Most of us are, that we have some people that pop in from other countries as well. So it just depends on the night.
Yeah.
Well, Jake, MD, I cut you, yes, off. We are out of time.
That was, I know, it, that
such,
it was a quick,
such hour, a great topic.
It was a quick hour.
That was a quick hour. And other than our technical difficulties, which are per the norm, per the usual around here. Jake, what is next week's topic?
Brandon, you know, I never know it off the top of my head.
I know, I'm so disappointed in you.
Pretty sure it's query,
yes,
letters.
Yes, it's your episode. We're going to be asking you all sorts of questions on query letters right here on Twitter. It's or X, whatever the fuck you want to call the damn thing. Right here. If you missed the episode and want to hear more, Jake, where can people listen to us at?
People can listen to us on any of the streaming platforms, but we also really like to broadcast everything from podbean.com. If you go over there and give us a like and a follow and a comment, we'd absolutely love, yes, it.
And right now, this is episode 50 of this topic, of our, yeah, podcast.
And we've been doing it for a year.
Yes, 1 year. So we got plenty of topics out there, from marketing and writing to music. And what was one of our weirder topics? Erotica? We talked about erotica in one episode.
You are such a dork. any excuse
I can get. So, all right, everyone, we will catch you next week, 7 p.m. Central Time, right here on Twitter. All right, everyone, have a great week.
We'll see everyone later. Bye.